Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Jill Hubbard with New Life Live, sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, along with my co-host, Dr. David Stoop. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Jill. Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm glad we get to be together today. So we look forward to speaking with all of you.
I've struggled with depression my whole life. I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their minds.
Anyone saying that family of origin horrendous sin is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected. Welcome back. Here we are again, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. David Stoop. And this past weekend, there was an EMB conference, and we have Jim Phyllis on the line who's going to tell us a little bit about that.
Very good.
Let's see if we can get him. Jim, are you there? Hi, Jim.
Tell us about the weekend.
We had a great weekend this past weekend. As always, you know, the fellows come, and they're uncertain as to what they're going to face that weekend. They're not sure they belong there. This has to be for somebody who is struggling in a completely different way than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them come pretty angry about maybe an ultimatum that's been delivered to be there. But again, over the course of even just the first couple of hours, as they hear the stories, first of all, of Jason Martinkus, who presents, and then of the various facilitators, their personal stories, it becomes a safe place for them to acknowledge this is not just a problem of a wrong behavior, but it's a problem that's been set up, compulsive and addictive behaviors that have been set up by a lifetime of shame, of trying to hide feelings of insecurity and inadequacy, and trying to compensate for those feelings in inappropriate ways.
Yeah, that's really a good point, Jim, that it's over a lifetime that this develops, that as people have difficulty dealing with things in their lives, this is one of the ways in which it manifests for these men and then creates so much shame, and it ends up having a life of its own.
Well, there's also a physiological basis to
yes.
that in terms of what goes on in the brain, what goes on in the body, where people sometimes say, well, it's not really an addiction, but it certainly is. And
mm-hmm.
it has all the characteristics in that it interferes with relationships, it progresses, and all of those things.
Well, and for most of the guys, there is this message, this overarching message, that a real man ought to be able to handle it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christian
mm-hmm.
men, certainly, as a Christian man, knowing the scriptures, knowing Jesus, I ought to be able to handle it just as an individual matter of faith. And as you said, it's not just a matter of self-will.
Mm-hmm.
All of the factors that are involved, it really requires being addressed in community, where we've got support and an understanding that this battle is far more difficult to win than just making a decision, I'm not going to do this again.
You know, you go back to the Old Testament and the time of the kings in Israel, and like King Ahab and Jezebel set up the Asherah pole, which involved temple prostitution, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you think, well, it's the same type of thing. It became an addiction back then, and they couldn't stop it, and they had their experiences with God, and it just, like, didn't make any difference at that point. It took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Just like it does in a man's life today.
Right, yeah. Right. And so personal failure really isn't accurate when you think about it.
No, it's, that's why I think seeing it mm-hmm. as an addiction is so important.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to the next weekend where we'll be together the 8th, 9th, 10th of July.
Great.
And look forward to the same thing happening in the lives of other men.
Thank you so much,
fantastic,
Jim, for all that you do. We appreciate you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi, Dr. Jill Hubbard here, along with Dr. David Stoop, filling in for Steve Arterburn today on New Life Live. Thanks for being with us. Let's go to a call, Dave, and I think we will try Glenora in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Glenora.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. I've been trying for ages to talk to you people.
Well, we're glad you got through.
Glenora, do you have your radio on in the background?
Yes, I do. Should I turn it off?
If there's any way you can turn that off, that would be great so we don't get that feedback. We would love to really be able to hear you. Yes, yes. So,
thank you guys for taking my call. This is a good one.
Okay, then we are ready to help today. How can we help you?
My question is, now I have the Lord in my heart, and I know what's right and wrong, and I know what's in the Bible, not everything. But my question to you guys is, it says, honor your mother and your father. And I do that. But my question today is, how can I keep doing that when I just found out I'm 55 years old? When I was 52, I found out that the guy that I have been calling my dad all these years is not my biological father. And I found out through some people that I grew up with, and they let my biological father die, which I'll never get to meet him or see his face. And now they think that it's no big deal. I shouldn't talk about it. My mom tried to abort me 6 times because the guy that they thought was my dad was in the service. So when he came home, she was pregnant with me. So she tried to abort me 6 times, I found out. And now, you know, through prayer and talking about it, you know, I'm okay because I'm just glad to be here and know that I have a heavenly
Father.
Well,
and Glenora, it's obvious that you were really meant to be here.
Absolutely.
Right? God meant for you to be here. So even though your mom was trying to cover her tracks and not expose what she had done, God had other plans.
Absolutely. I know this, but the problem that I have is now, you know, neither one of them really want to have anything to do with me because, of course, I have questions and I want to talk about this. And my father was a minister, my biological father.
Wow.
They let die. And, you know, that's the hard thing that I'm going through now is now that I know they don't even really want to have anything to do with me. And
your
they
parents?
Really don't. My mom won't even pick up the phone if I call.
Oh, my
wow,
word.
Really? Well,
no.
Glenora, you know, they made a decision a long time ago, it sounds like, to not ever tell you.
Oh, they would have taken it to their grave.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I would imagine they don't know how to talk to you about it.
Hey, Glenora, your question has to do with mm-hmm. how do you honor them, right?
Yes.
Okay. One of the interesting things about that word honor is how it's defined. If you go back to the Hebrew, the meaning of the word in the Hebrew language is to give weight to what is weighty. So that if you wanted to then translate that into our language, you know, contemporary thought, it's to honor what is honorable. And you don't honor what it isn't honorable. And what your family did by lying to you all those years, it was not something that you would honor. You could honor your father, you know, the stepfather that you thought was your father. You can honor him for raising you and being there and protecting you and mm-hmm. doing those things.
But he didn't do that.
Oh, he didn't do that.
I never experienced that. I never remember him even setting me on his knees saying, I love you.
Well, you can honor him for providing a roof over your head and food 3 times a day. And maybe that's about as far as you can go. As far as honoring your mother, that's a hard one because, you know, she gave you life, but she did it very reluctantly if she tried to abort you. These are two people who are very, very unhealthy. And there's not much you need to honor them about. You know, if you didn't like President Clinton when he was the president, you know, and he came and stopped by your house, you know, I don't think you would spit on him or, you know, throw dirt
at him.
Ignore him. You may not like the man, but you would honor his role as the president.
Okay.
And see, so you there's something that you can honor about that. The way you're describing your mom and the man who acted as your dad, there's not a whole lot that was honorable. And the fact that they won't speak to you today adds to that. And about all you can honor them for is that they provided a roof and 3 square meals a day. And you honor them for that, but not for the other things, because those other things were wrong. They were deceptive. They were evil.
Well,
and you don't honor evil.
Right. So apart from the information you just received, Glenora, or a couple of years ago, you had a lot of issues with your parents and their neglect of you or really not connecting with you in a way that was nurturing, was all that you needed. But now, so you have all of those issues with the parents you grew up with. Then you get this new information, which adds to the picture. And it's interesting, you're calling, mm-hmm. asking about your parents, but this new information, that those feelings of, wow, there was this whole part of my life that I never knew existed.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And so what else don't
I...
Can
you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah, that's... just to have to sit and process that. And, they may be afraid, but you're just wanting to process this.
You know
right?
what? I just don't want to miss out any of my blessings having these feelings because, like I said, I have the Lord in my heart, and I've always had a Heavenly Father, and I am so glad to be here.
You sound full of life.
You got a great attitude.
I do.
Glenora,
and you know what
you
I
don't
do?
Lose that.
I'm a caregiver. I take care of people.
Of course you are.
I'm right now at my 90-year-old lady's home. I come and I take care of her every day.
So
she thinks that I'm helping her so much. Oh, my God. Do you know how much she's helping me and all the other people that I have taken care of? That's what keeps me grounded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now,
I'm not
so,
really...
Glenora, do you give to others what you wish were given to you?
Honey, I'm not lacking anything.
Okay.
I wake up every day and press my feet on solid ground.
Well, praise the Lord.
I'm not missing out on anything. And
right.
I thank the Lord for everything I've been through because I think it makes me the person that I am today.
Okay, so Glenora, mm-hmm. you found out this information. People let the truth out, okay? God obviously felt like you were ready to handle this truth. Are you glad that you know?
Well, I'm glad I know, but then sometimes it flips back to that side.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there's sadness
in it. And
then
I have children and grandchildren, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what if they were to date one of their relatives? I have a lot of brothers and sisters out here.
Yeah.
And that's another question for I wanted to ask you. Is it wrong that I don't really want to meet them? If my dad was still alive, my biological father, then maybe. But I have a lot of peace in my life, and sometimes I think that depends on who you have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Just not ready to open my world
up, you know what,
to all these people.
No,
just because you've gotten this information doesn't mean you have to suddenly embrace.
Who told you this stuff, Glenora? Who was the one who spilled the beans?
Actually, my best girlfriend was in a doctor's office, and she came in contact with two girls that grew up with me in my neighborhood when we were little kids. And they said, we're looking for Glenora. And she said, why? She said her family wants to meet her. Well, my best girlfriend of 55 years was stunned because she's like, well, she knows her family because she knows my whole family.
Mm-hmm. So
information.
Hey, Glenora, this must have explained a lot to you, though. And I would gradually meet some of those people because they're the ones that you can talk to and get answers to your questions with.
Mm-hmm.
Your only concern, I think, at this point is that at some point you're able to release your mom and the man who served as your dad from and just release it and let it go, forgiving it. You know, it doesn't mean you reconcile with them. I wouldn't want to spend time with them. If I were you, and I think that's okay. We're going to send you a copy of Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, which will help you understand what that process is all about. It's not reconciling. It's simply releasing. So bless you. Great to hear
from
you.
Thanks for calling, Glenora. Okay, wow. It is hard to find something out that we never knew about. Really?
But you do. She's right. You got to talk to somebody about it.
Well,
and
yeah.
Probably that other family would be the one where those two
or
gals who are looking for
her. That are more neutral, where she can sit and just really go through all of her questions with and just out loud.
She just might get some answers from that other family.
She might, yeah. She could.
Amazing.
Okay. Next call, let's go to Sonia in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Sonia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can we help you today?
Well, I just discovered your program, and it has just been so enriching to my life. So thank you guys so much for doing this.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
Glad you found us.
Thank you. Well, I'm going through a pretty good grieving process. My marriage of 25 years just ended about 6 months ago.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And I have two wonderful boys, grown boys, just absolutely wonderful. And I guess my question is that I've got to make some changes, and I'm not really sure. Some of the things about myself are pretty embedded in me.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, and I had to shoulder a lot of responsibility, and basically the adults in my life said, you're strong enough to deal with this stuff. So, you know, we didn't talk about it. We just dealt with it. I think I got to where I was afraid to make a stand or to make a mistake because love was conditional. It wasn't unconditional.
Mm.
So if you ever did something that made somebody mad or rubbed them the wrong way, you know, there was punishment for that. So I actually became manipulative and kind of controlling in a kind of passive-aggressive way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been standing on the word, and God has just blessed me through this process. I kind of feel guilty for grieving. I guess my question is, I feel like I need to be over it and be well and get on with my life and be productive.
In 6 months?
In 6 months?
20 to 25 years?
Yeah, that's like half a lifetime.
Why did the marriage end, Sonia?
Well, if you really want to know the truth, I'm not 100% sure.
Wow.
My husband... of course, I married somebody I think who was pretty selfish. He He did all he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it, and I basically raised the kids on my own, which is a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks a lot. I would probably, I would say he's an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
He does enjoy porn, so those are two things that I know are not very healthy.
Okay, so Sonia, we've got to go to a break now, and we'll be back to talk with you more about the situation.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll be back. Thanks for joining us here on New Life, and more to come, so please stay tuned. We'll be in the studio 6 hours today. You can reach us at 1-800-229-3000.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dr. Jill Hubbard sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, along with Dr. David Stoop. And Dave, earlier we heard from Jim Phyllis regarding our Every Man's Battle weekends. And I also wanted to mention that we have the Wives in the Battle Conference, or Women in the Battle Conference.
They changed the name,
yes,
you see.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because it's not just for wives, because you could also be involved with someone, perhaps in a dating relationship, that is involved in these kinds of behaviors and maybe anticipating, is this someone that I should be with, and yet are already experiencing the hurt of sexual addiction.
Good move.
So I think in preparation, instead of going into a battle that you're not prepared for, let's get the information and get prepared and look at what how it has hurt you already, right? So that you can make a better choice. So Wives in the Battle will be coming Women in the Battle, Women in the Battle will be coming up in September 23rd through the 25th, and that's going to be a wonderful event.
It's going to be great.
Yes. Okay, so we were talking with Sonia. And Sonia, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you were telling us that your husband of 25 years, you were telling us that you weren't sure why you divorced, but that there were a lot of problems in the marriage, that he was involved in drinking and pornography, kind of self-absorbed. You were raising the children on your own.
I'm curious, Sonia, why you think you should be over this by
yes.
now. Who's telling you that?
I don't know. I guess the I guess I just feel like it's over, you know, so you should get on with the good things in your life that you have, I guess.
It's, you know, you mentioned earlier that things that happened in your life and your family thinking that you could handle it, so instead of talking about it, they just wanted you to kind of move through the tasks. And it seems like you're taking that same model now. And not allowing yourself to really grieve and sit with the feelings and be okay with just, gosh, it's devastating to have a marriage end, even if it was a rocky marriage. Even if it perhaps needed to end, it's still devastating because you've invested a lot and you made those vows, that commitment, and that's a hard thing to just undo.
Right, and
you got
25 years of history where you identified yourself as being this man's wife, and what you do is you've got to grieve that, and the grieving means that you've got to be angry that it was that it broke up, that it was over, as bad as it might have been, and sad over it. And women have a tough time doing the angry part typically, but you know, there was an informal study done some years ago at a center in New York that said if you were married like 25 years, it will take about 5 years to really get over it completely. Now, some of that starts before you break up, but, you know, it's like a fourth of the time. That's 6 years would be closer to 6 years.
Yeah.
And a fourth of the time that you were together, it will take that long for you to emotionally heal. And so let's say you maybe... You know, there was a year or two where you knew that this was ending, and now 6 months. So maybe you're not even quite halfway there. You need to give yourself time to heal on the inside. It's like there was a piece of you that was ripped out, that was that it represented him.
That makes sense to you?
There's a hole there that has to heal.
He was my only boyfriend. He was the only man I've ever been with in my whole life. I've never even dated another person. So
Gosh. Talk about your identity revolving around someone.
But look also at the dream that you had that this was for life, that this was the one guy, that somehow he would get it together. And all of those dreams, you know, being able to say that I'm a married woman, not a divorced woman. Those are all things that you grieve over. And that grieving, like I said, has the angry protest, and then the sadness and the resignation.
Well, and Dave, you're right. It's not just the person that you're grieving.
No,
it's the whole lifestyle, everything
went
along about it. With marriage.
Even just the fact of being married is something that
absolutely
need to grieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Being seen in that couple status.
Yeah.
It is. That is very hard. And I think it's what's so, I guess, kind of annoying to me about myself is that I just have repeated this process, you know? It's like you said, I live for the dream, but I don't ever make the choices or change my patterns and stand up. Even if I know it's God's word and I know what they're doing is against it, I never stand up, you know? I never be strong in the word to another person. I can hold myself accountable, but I don't ever,
don't hold anybody else.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? If check with your church or some of the other churches as to who does a divorce recovery workshop.
That would be a good thing.
That
for
would
you.
Be an excellent place for you to talk with other people who are going through this, to hear some of the principles that are important to understand, and just to be able to talk it through with some people who understand. You know, and even getting with a personal counselor would be, I think,
right.
very
Therapy
important.
Therapy is a really good thing for when you're going through such a difficult time. And also, I think, to gather some close friends around you, friends that can kind of tolerate long suffering and will sit with you and that you can talk, you know, through the different feelings and emotions.
They won't get mad at
we'll
you
get
for
mad
saying,
and tell you
I
to
should
hurry
be
up,
over this
hurry
by
up
now.
And get over. Yeah, stay away from those friends.
You want those who say, come on, slow down,
let it
heal.
Let you be where you're at.
Thank you, guys.
So let's send her Healing is a Choice.
Okay.
And,
okay.
I hope
think
you enjoy
that. Sounds
that,
good.
Sonia.
Okay. You take care, Sonia. Thanks for calling.
Well, that that's a hard place to be.
It's so hard because, you know what, nobody wants to sit in the feelings. When you tell them to sit, they're like, but what do I do?
Well, you heal.
You feel the feelings, and that's the last thing most people want to do.
Yes.
So we're going to a break, Dave. It looks like, again, we'll be right back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everybody. Here we are again, Dr. Jill Hubbard, filling in for Steve Arterburn today, along with Dr. David Stoop. And now we have Larry Sonnenberg, president of New Life Ministries, here to talk to us a little bit.
Well, thank you, Jill. There are two things I wanted to say. One is an announcement. One is that Steve and John and Henry are going to be on Trinity Broadcasting on Thursday night on the Praise the Lord show. And so if you get TBN on your cable network, which I think most every cable network in, or most every cable station in the country carries that network, tune it in. It'll be on at 7 o'clock, I think, is the time that TBN airs. And so they're going to talk about Christian counseling.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and that's a new thing for TBN to do
it
something
is.
Like
okay.
that.
It is. Okay, great. So, well, they'll do a great job.
Yeah. And if you're local, if you're for the radio folks listening in Southern California, you can call and get tickets to go sit in and watch the program. You just call TBN at phone number 714-708-5431. So that's one thing. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was Club New Life. And the goal that we had for the year was to have 1,000 people added to Club New Life. We are halfway through the year in just a few days, so we should we should be at 500 by June 30th. We are at 449 as we come to air here this morning. So in the next 3 days, we'd like to do a big deal and get 51 new Club New Life people.
Okay.
Club New Life, if you're not familiar, is our monthly giving program. And it, we ask you to give $1 a day, $30 a month. And if you'll call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online, you can sign up There are some benefits to joining. And
you get great goodies every month.
You get goodies. Right? You get a CD that we produce, some teaching on it. And
once in a while, a book.
And if we get enough people to join that, we won't have to come and make our appeals and our desperate pleas and things like that.
So if you want us to stop doing
that's
this,
right. If you
to
want
stop
us to shut
talking
up,
about money.
I'll enjoy Club New Life.
Well, you said it's a dollar a day, but there's a lot of people who do more than that.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's
the
minimum
yeah. that we ask, mm-hmm. yeah. So, and we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible to say thanks for joining.
And you'll feel more a part of the family here.
Amen.
You're more in touch with what we're doing, and we're more in touch with you,
yep.
which is a great thing.
So I'm going to let you go on to phone calls. That's what we want to do on the show.
Yep, that's what we're here about.
You don't want to take any calls with us?
Larry. A little financial counseling for people.
I don't have the gift of mercy. I'll just tell them, stop it.
Just stop it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh, good.
Okay, well, back to the phones here, and we are going to talk with Charles in Waldorf, Maryland, looks like, on WAVA. Hi, Charles.
Hey, okay, hello. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I had a question.
Okay.
When I was returning back from a trip a couple weeks ago from Father's Day, I thought my wife was mad at me. And then later on, I found out that she was upset about what my stepmother had said to her. And periodically, my stepmother would say things, and I can't figure out till later because no one tells me. So the latest thing she tells my wife is she wishes she was dead.
And we're not
saying those kind of things. And my wife.
And is your stepmom all with it, or is she not all there?
Well,
does she have Tourette's where she just says things randomly?
She is very bitter. She's always negative. Like I said, she married my dad when I was like seven.
Uh-huh.
My mom passed, so my dad remarried. There was three after that marriage and three before that marriage. And she's always been bitter. And my wife and I have been married for like 42 years. And my wife has always been respectful, always treating her right, calling her mom and doing everything. She's helped her and all kinds of things when we visit her. And she's constantly saying these things like that. She bad-mouthed my dad. My dad's a World War II veteran, African-American, and he's always positive. He's still able to get around and drive and everything. So she has a good man, but she's always bitter and negative towards everyone. And I'm trying to ponder in my heart, how do I go about addressing this without so I can still be honorable?
Well, what does your wife need from you, Charles? For one thing, she kind of held this inside and didn't tell you for a while, but what does she ask of you in that situation?
Well, she told me not to say anything, and then I confronted my sister when I called her, and commented and asked her. She said that's why she was mad at our stepmother as well, but they didn't tell me because they didn't want me to say anything. Well, I'm tired of hurting my wife constantly. In fact, my other brother, my brother, he doesn't even bring his wife around because she's always doing that. And we understand that, but don't break off communication with your other siblings. And so I'm tired of hurting my wife, but I want to still see my dad. She still wants to see my dad. So trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, why do you guys feel like you shouldn't say anything?
Yeah, I'm wondering why the women feel that way.
I don't know. I have no idea. Hmm. Well, I'm not hot-tempered. I'm pretty, calm-mannered and everything. And I try to rash down things. And most things, when I do confront her, I usually address the scriptures and ask her to read it and ask her, what does she think that I say? And then I say, okay, well, Mom, if the scripture tells you that, then don't be mad at me for just letting you read it and see. You're doing things wrong when you're supposed to be more godly than all of us, since you've been in the Word longer than all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how my sisters and I and my brother, we always confronted with those kind of things. So I don't know. I guess they were just didn't want. It was so hurting to them. They didn't want me to say anything because it really would have hurt me.
Yeah, they're very protective, and all that does is just give permission for your stepmom to keep doing it. And I would come up with a statement that maybe your wife can say even to her, and saying, that's very hurtful, and I don't appreciate it. And that's maybe all she needs to say. And if everybody in the family started to say that to her when she does this stuff, that's very hurtful. I don't appreciate it. That's hurtful. I don't appreciate you talking about your husband that way. And just very nicely.
And that is confronting in love, isn't it?
Yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, that's
and you know that's, you have a right to say, you know what, I don't like it when you do that to me.
Yeah,
you and that's crossing a boundary that I'm not comfortable with.
Doesn't have to be a big knockdown dragout. Just a simple statement. That's Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth. And
we tried all those things over the years. My sisters have confronted her. My wife has spoken those same things when we helped her move, mm-hmm. and. Constantly does these things. I mean, and we've fallen in love.
Okay.
But see, that doesn't mean it's going to solve the problem. It
right.
means that you're setting a boundary, and then you withdraw from her and just go talk to somebody else or just leave the room. It may never change, but at least you're able to say something so that, you know, so that your wife doesn't
Right, and I think it's important for people to speak up and say something and not just tolerate behavior, even if the person's behavior doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, Charles, for you to stand up for your wife. I mean, Okay.
That's
good. Good. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you do.
She won't let him because she won't tell him.
Yes, yes. That's right.
That's a pattern in your family that you guys have to, you know, get together and talk about and say, okay, let's have a... You know, let's not just try it. Let's do it until the day we or she dies. You know, we're going to have a statement that we all agree and we say it the same way and then pray that somehow it penetrates. But it probably won't. She's older. Mm-hmm.
And you might have to say to her that, you know, the consequence if you continue to say such hurtful, mean statements is that we won't want to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of statements push people away. And when you don't hear our hurt, then we think you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And we may choose not to be around someone who doesn't care. And if you're hurting, and that's why you treat us meanly, you know, we're happy to talk with you about that. But let's look at what's really going on instead of us getting the brunt of your bitterness.
Does that make sense, Charles?
We've tried that. We don't want to not see our dad.
Well, and why would that keep you from seeing your dad?
Because they live together.
I understand. And your dad doesn't do anything independent of her?
Well, he does, but he doesn't go about anywhere. He's 91. We normally just go visit him. He'll go out to eat or they'll have like a men's breakfast at church and stuff. But, you know, for the most part, he's so discouraged and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what
so
I think,
I'm wondering how she treats him.
Oh, the same
way.
Very
bad.
Yeah, this is not a good situation.
But that's kind of what they've accepted. You know, mm-hmm. I think what you've got to do, Charles, that when you talk with your other family is, we're not going to change this lady. We just want to be able to set some kind of a limit on how it affects us. That you're doing this for your sake.
Absolutely.
Not for your stepmom's sake, because she's probably not going to change at this stage of her life. And it's a pattern she's had all of her life. So it's going to just continue. But you want to do this for your sake and for your wife's sake and for your sister-in-law and all of their sakes. That's why you do it.
Okay. There's the music again. Charles, thanks for calling. What should we send him?
It's Henry's book, Having That Difficult Conversation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's send him that.
Let's send you that, Charles. Okay. Thanks for calling today. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll
six be in more
the
hours?
Studio for 6 hours today. Here on New Life Live. We'll see you back here in just a minute.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Dr. Jill Hubbard filling in for Steve Arterburn today, along with my co-host, Dr. David Stoop. And David, I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, we have a New Life weekend coming up. It's in July, July 22nd through the 24th. Yes. And I think we've got a clip that we should play because these are such fabulous weekends. We want you to hear something from someone who attended.
Considering isn't an option. Attending is the only option.
It's the best thing to do. You get so much out of this weekend in a short time.
Be brave and go for it.
God can break through and reach you wherever you are in life.
Open your heart to the incredible possibilities that God can transform your life and bring you hope for an amazing journey that never ends.
Well, I can assure you those people did not sound like that when they walked through the doors on Friday.
No.
But by Sunday, that's what they were saying about the weekend.
If you're thinking about it, you don't have to be a basket case to come.
Oh, absolutely not.
I think the best rule of thumb is if you're feeling stuck someplace in your life and it's frustrating, that's the time to sign
up. Mm-hmm. Right. Or you want some time where you can block everything else out. You don't have to deal with the day-to-day life tasks and can just focus on an issue that you really want to dig into. So it's a great way to jumpstart things. Okay, let's go to a call and let's go to Anne in Calgary, Canada. Hi, Anne.
Hi, guys. Yeah. Hi.
Welcome to New Life Live.
I'm so grateful you took my call today.
Great to hear from you.
How do you listen to us?
I listen on the internet.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, good. Okay.
We attended a New Life weekend, and then I just kind of have listened ever since.
Fantastic.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
Glad to have you.
I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about controller-victim dynamics. My spouse and I, we both protect our pain in a way that's hurtful to the other. So I withdraw when I'm in pain, and he attacks. And his belief is that I shouldn't withdraw because then there's no intimacy in the relationship, but I don't believe that I no longer have to protect myself from his attacks. So I'm not really sure how to make a boundary about that.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that he needs to understand, Anne, is that when somebody withdraws, it's because they don't feel safe. And when he attacks, you feel even less safe. So you've got a vicious cycle going, you know. You don't need to worry about who's at fault. You both are, or neither one of you are, because you're caught in a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow your conversation needs to focus on when I'm in pain, I need you to help me feel safe, and how can we do that? And then also probably say, you know, when I withdraw, what does that represent to you? It must represent something that is painful to him. And so you're kind of playing into each other's pain in that thing. So in a non-crisis situation, you know, not when this is happening, but the next day, you know, say, we need to break this cycle. And to do that, I need to understand what's going on inside of you, and you need to understand what's going on inside of me. Can we talk about that? And if you can't, then you need to get with a counselor who can help you do that, because that's the only way you're going to break that cycle.
Yeah, and do you feel like you and your husband can talk about things after the fact when you're not in the heat of the moment?
Oh, yeah. We've done a lot of work on this. We did counseling for like 2 years. We've done How We Love Twice, Alone and
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So we've done a lot of work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of took the How We Love principles and said, now, see, you need to give me what I need.
Oh, and then you need to say
so
back,
he took the
and now you
and
need to make
controlling.
It safe for mm-hmm. me to give you what you need.
Yeah, which is what I say to him, but he says what he's doing isn't harmful.
No. Only you get to determine that. He doesn't get to decide that.
He basically wants you to move to his camp, right, and relate the way he relates instead of the opposite of how he relates. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
controlling behavior.
Yes, it is. And probably he feels abandoned and left when you withdraw, and that probably scares him. So that's why people go on the offense, to try to bring you back into that distance that feels more, or that closeness that feels more comfortable. And it's we're laughing here and it's humorous, but when you're in the heat of the moment, it's not funny at all. And so I think, Dave, you're exactly right in kind of being able to break it down and see it from both sides, that both people have to feel safe. It has to be an environment mm-hmm. where both people can come into relationship.
And look at it as a cycle. Don't,
yes.
you know, it's like he's blaming you and you're blaming him. You know, he's saying, you're playing the victim, and you say, you're being the controller. That's a blame thing, and it doesn't go anywhere.
Well,
so
you know what,
talk about it as a cycle. We got to break the cycle, and we both have to break
right,
the cycle.
Right, and it both feeds into each other because, I kind of see this. It's like two people getting into that place where it's, what about me? And they mm-hmm. get into protective mode, and they're protecting their ideas or their camp. And, you know, each person in a relationship has some individual needs and wants, mm-hmm. but then what's for the good of the relationship? And I think, and that's where you two have to come together and say, okay, that may be what you want and what works for you. And this is what I want and what works for me. But what will work for the good of the relationship? And with each of our styles, how can we move closer towards those goals?
Remember that the Tony Campolo quote that our pastor said a couple of weeks ago, you know, that the only fight that a couple should have
that's
is,
right.
How can I serve you? No, how can I serve you? Because you go to Ephesians 5:21 of being submissive to each other as unto the Lord. You know,
right.
it's like, how can I serve you in the Lord? And if you had that, that was the only good fight that a couple should
right,
have.
Right, right. And nobody gets married saying, I just want to edify you and build you up and serve you in your giftedness so that you are the person God intended you to
be. But that's the purpose of marriage in God's eyes.
Yeah. It is, absolutely.
But so, sometimes with a victim, then they just continue giving and giving and giving, trying to make it work.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
And so, Anne, is that you?
Yeah.
Is that you? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, now I believe I can protect myself. I just don't know how to do that without withdrawing.
Well, you can't do it without withdrawing until it starts to feel safer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part of the cycle you've got to focus on. It has to feel safe for me to stop withdrawing.
So when you withdraw, that's a clue to you. Okay, I don't feel safe. So you need to hold up the white flag or whatever you
get
need to get his
sign,
attention.
A little sign that says, I'm not feeling safe right now, and just hold it up. And if you can learn to laugh about some of those things, and mm-hmm. it's like that breaks the impasse. I mean,
yes.
I'm being serious and suggesting
No, I know,
that.
But you know, it's like couples, no matter what the content of the argument is, the scenario plays out exactly the same.
Yeah.
So if you can start to see, here we go again, you know, do we really want to go down this same path where you withdraw and I attack and... You know, let's try to do something
mm-hmm.
different.
That's the cycle part that
mm-hmm.
we've got to break. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thanks, Anne. We appreciate her.
There's
call.
A send her the copy of Just Us, a devotional book
that
for
would
couples.
Be great.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Guys, work through
that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get that to you. So, Dave, it looks like we are at the end of our show, sailing through,
have
even
you
without Steve.
Enjoyed
here.
Being the hostess.
Well, it's been different. I think it's. I appreciate Steve and his multitasking, his ability to do that.
Yeah, I can do that and still doodle.
I know. Well, he does.
Right.
So we will be in studio for five more
hours.
Those of you who are holding on, we'll be back doing a next show right away. So please hold on, and hopefully we'll get to your calls. Or you can call back later today. The number to reach us is 1-800-229-3000, and that's where you can be on hold to have a question. If you want to call in about Club New Life, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We need 51 new members.
51 new members.
Next couple days. So give us a call. We'd love to welcome you into our family.
Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.